Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today we're being joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. Mayor Trent, always good to have you on the program.
Always good to have you. And I was going to tell you, the fellow that was on in your place last time did a tremendous job that came on. The student, I think, was here when you were gone. He did a great job, so I want to make sure I comment him.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel a little bit about like Wally Pipp for a while there, yeah, because I heard some rave reviews on the efforts of Jacob Lindberg on Front Page.
Jacob, so he did a fine job.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in town right now. And obviously the big thing is school is back in session. Morehead State students are back on campus and back in town, and that's always a big change for the city.
It really is. It's a economic boon, of course, for if you're a restaurant or have a business in town or in the community. So I know those folks are very excited. You know, most folks are very excited to do that. We always have challenges, as we know, with the continued construction and the premium on parking. But so far, knock on wood, we had move-in last Wednesday and Thursday for the university, and we also had first day of school in the school system on Thursday, and without incident, as far as I've been told. So this is the first full week of classes here on campus, and driving around town as I do, I drive through town several times a day and look at what I consider potential cog places. And so far, again, people seem to be respectful of one another and courteous, and that's what it's going to take. If talking about parking and driving and all that, you know, people get in a hurry. We understand that. We all have schedules. We all have timelines. But when folks will leave a little earlier, allow a little bit more time, and be courteous with each other, it should run as smooth as it can.
The one thing that I've noticed over the last couple of years, and actually somebody noted this to me the other day, and there's some new banners up around town for Morehead State University that say, "Our town, our team."
And one town, one team.
One town, yeah. One team, right. And it's really neat, you know. And as time has gone on here, and as I mentioned, the last couple of years, this city seems to be developing more of the feel of being a college town than what I've seen in prior years. And that's not a knock on anyone. It's just something that I'm noticing.
We early on, of course, as you know, I've always been a big supporter of Morehead State University. I'm an alumnus and a season ticket holder with several of the sporting events and athletic teams, and just been something I wanted to do. I believe that we are yoked together. We have been for many years, and we will be for many more years. So we realize we're good for each other just on our face as it is with economic impact that Morehead State University has, along with the hospital. I tell people just a brief side note here. Our budget this year was between $15 and $16 million. Roughly $4 million of that comes from combined occupational taxes from the employees at St. Clair and Morehead State University. So when you got a fourth of your income coming from two entities, and that's not to mention we have other, you know, large entities as well, but those are the main two, you see the, you know, the impact in a positive way for our city. But it's something where I went to school here. I lived at home in Clearfield, but went to school here, was very active on campus. And several of my friends that I was either in the fraternity with or went to school with, we've talked about how we need to get back to that feel, what we had 25, 30 years ago, when you seemed like you had more of that hometown pride in your university. And I'm not saying anybody's against it or nobody dislikes it. It's just sometimes we get away from that. And, you know, putting up banners and welcoming people and those type of things, it welcomes the students. It shows the parents and the folks who are supporting these students that, hey, you know, Morehead, we knew we liked it for a school. We knew we liked the area. But when you see that, that takes them to a different comfort level. They may come and stay longer. They may visit more. And so from an economic development and economic standpoint, it's the right thing to do. But being yoked, as I said, that we will always be, it's really the only thing you can do. You can't have that separation because it's just not going to work. We help as a city with what we do and trying to raise our livability standards. And trust me, we got a long way to go. But we've made some improvements, and we're continuing to work on that. We help Morehead State recruit students. We help them recruit and retain professors and staff and support services. But they help us in turn by bringing those folks in and helping us with our local economy. So it's a partnership that has been there for many, many years, and we ought to both take advantage of it as much as we can to help each other, because when one of them wins, the other wins. And that's just what we're trying to do. And showing school pride like they do, for example, at Western. You know, when you go to Western, you have the Big Red Way. As soon as you turn in Bowling Green and you get close to campus, you know, it's basically painted red leading into campus. And we're trying to get to that point so that, you know, of course we've got high school teams we support, but we're a college town.
Well, let's face facts. I mean, there are seven public universities in the state of Kentucky and seven towns hosting those universities. Moorhead is one of them, and that makes you pretty special.
It really does. I mean, not every town has a public university, a state university. That's right. And so we're an elite group. And you think of all of the – I think there's, you know, incorporated cities, like 400 cities in the state. And so you take – we're seven of them, and we're one of them. You're right. And it's another thing that it leads to the hometown feel, and it takes away an imaginary line of separation from – the campus line in here. And that's one of the things, if you noticed, started with President Andrews, what he's trying to do with trying to take away that line. And now continuing with our new president, Jay Morgan, you know, we're going to, with ADUC, for example, they're going to have the bottom of the ADUC is going to be the food court area. It's going to be open to the Main Street side, which would encourage folks to come and visit. From the city, not only on campus. And that's one of the reasons why we took the Always Stop and made it, implemented it a couple years ago, because in the next year or so, Morehead State, in their long-range plan, is they're going to be taking and closing a large section of University Boulevard and making it pedestrian. So that will naturally lead down to Main Street, coming down Batson Oates and crossing 2nd Street. So all of that right there, and with what we did with our street, taking it back from a road to a street, went to 20 miles an hour, tried to make it more pedestrian friendly, and that's to make sure that we have this mix of pedestrians, whether they're from the university, the hospital, people in town, businesses, whatever, and make us a community, not us versus them, us.
Well, there's one thing that I was going to ask you about this. In further developing this college town field for Morehead, I know that you believe there is more that can be done. Are there some plans along that line?
Well, there are, and one of the first steps there is what we found in working with groups like New Cities, Downtown Morehead Incorporated, Chamber of Commerce, Tourism, City Council, and of course, Physical Court with the county, and also incorporating folks from the school district and always our friends down at, even though they're not – you know, that close to Morehead State University, they're still part of our planning, and that is Lakeview Heights folks and Mayor Bolt. What we started right towards the end of the semester, in the spring semester, around May or so, I can't remember the exact date, but in a meeting led by CEO of St. Clair, Mark Neff, and, of course, then-President Wayne Andrews of Morehead State University, we had a really nice get-together of local leaders of local entities, be it county, city, school district, whoever, all the local leaders, and we've agreed to start moving forward on a comprehensive community plan. Everybody has their own individual plans, and Morehead State University has their plan. So what we're trying to do, we're not saying everybody's going to do the same thing, but we want this plan to be worked into how can we intermingle each of our plans to get the common goal. Now, MSU's plans are going to have different in certain minute aspects than ours, but if we can look at an overall umbrella plan where we can all kind of be quote unquote on the same page, then yes, that will lead to a lot of other opportunities down the road. As far as specific plans right now, we're working with MSU to try to help them get the ADUC expansion. We've been very helpful with them on the 2nd Street closures and all that. So immediately that's what we're waiting on. Now, once the ADUC plan is complete and the renovation, we've also made some adjustments on 5th Street and some other ones to make sure that some of the parking and some of the streets that have had to be closed down temporarily for the construction, we can try to help the citizens in that area. We can help more Walker. So we're constantly working on that. And we personally, as a city, I shouldn't say personally, we as a city put in $75,000 in this year's budget to go towards that comprehensive plan. We've heard ranges of anywhere from 100 to $150,000 it would cost. So we went ahead. It was important enough to us and our city council that we pledged that much money. Now, we're waiting for the others to come to the table, but that goes to show us that we're actually putting some skin in the game.
At the Monday night meeting of city council, there was a lot of discussion about parking along Knapp Avenue, which is a narrow street, and it's a very busy street because there's a lot of houses going all the way back up in there. And I know that you came to a compromise of, at this point, maybe closing off curbside parking on one side of the street and leaving it open on the other, and then closing off all of Cecil Drive, which is a very short thoroughfare for parking completely. So do you feel like this will all work?
Well, we feel like it's a good start. We really don't know until we have it up and use it as a beta test to see, because it's not ever been done. And if you think about it strategically, and looking at it, if you were to look at Knapp overhead, if you had a drone's eye view, for example, Knapp's really three different streets combined. You've got the straight stretch from 2nd Street up to Cecil. Some people call it the drag strip because of where some people will exceed the speed limit a little bit. Then you take from Cecil up to Sherwood Forest. That's a little bit different. It's got a little wind in it. And then from Sherwood Forest up to the end of Knapp, that's where it really gets narrow over on the creek side. So we're kind of looking at it strategically, saying, okay, first of all, the issues on Knapp coming from Cecil down to 2nd Street were that if you had parking on both sides of the street, it's hard for two cars to pass. And if you had an ambulance, if you had a fire engine, or you had anything like that that needed to get up through there in an emergency situation, it would cause a delay. Could they get up through there? Yes. But, you know, as we know, in life-saving situations, seconds are could be lives, minutes. So what we decided to do, I personally had said, let's just paint both sides, because if you look overhead again at all those streets that line up there, you start with Wilson, you go to Bays, then you go to, I forget the other one, Lyons, and then you go to Knapp, and then you go to Allen. Knapp's the only one that isn't painted both sides. Okay, so the rest of them are, and there's reason for that. So we said, all right, we had a lot of good discussion. I mean, you would have been proud, Chuck, to have been there and see your fellow constituents come in and your fellow residents come in, and we had good open debate. It got exciting, but no one was disrespectful, and that's good. We've had three of these meetings over this, and we've had all open debate, so what we decided to do, the council decided to go ahead and compromise and start on the right or the east side of Knapp up from 2nd to Cecil, which is along the right side if you're driving up. If you're familiar with that, Larry Fannin's lot there is on that, or Larry Fannin's house is on that side. It's one of the lower houses and up that way to Cecil. When we get to Cecil, we're going to paint it double yellow because the school bus route is up Knapp, comes back down, turns right onto Cecil, and with two cars parked there, it is almost impossible. So we are going to do that for safety reasons. Now, above Cecil, we're going to use signage because there's no curbs. It's very hard to paint yellow and make it look like anything above there. So we're going to use signage. It's still going to be on the right side, which as you go up from the second section of Knapp from Cecil up into Sherwood Forest, that'll take care of a lot of the issues we've had in the past. And then when you go beyond Sherwood Forest up to the end of Knapp, that's creekside anyway. So no one really parks over there anyway, but it will prevent folks from trying to do that. That's the plan. We're going to try to keep it up for either a semester or maybe if it's working okay, then up through a full school year, because that's kind of how we test things. That's our highest traveling. The roads are traveled the most during the school. And we can always adjust it, but I think most people left last night or Monday night. They weren't completely satisfied, but I think they were satisfied that we were doing something and we did start the process.
Again, we're on Front Page today with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, our guest is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. And thought about this the other day, Mayor. I was kind of reviewing story ideas, and I remembered that we'd talked about an audit of the city's zoning ordinances that could be starting this fall. Where's that process?
Well, we actually got an outline last night when presented it to council on Monday night's meeting. Of what the group out of Cincinnati, and it escapes me. I should have brought it. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but they've came in and interviewed several homeowners in the area, several developers, several business owners, several city officials, and they have compiled what they think are a list of hot points they want to try to address. And some of that is, of course, a lot of the housing that was predominantly single-family housing that's now been purchased either through the passing of the original owner or whatever. And those have been turned into rental properties for up to 3, 4, 5, even 6 people. And that we've seen that bring up some issues. So that's one of the things. Also, that our zoning book, our zoning is really kind of antiquated. It's kind of sometimes difficult to understand. It's not as clear as it needs to be, and there's a lot of gray area. So what we're going to try to do is continue with them and hopefully have a product we can present to council sometime in the spring. But they're very open to taking input from everyone. So far, council seems to be fine with what they're doing. And the highlights, they came back. They gave us about a 5-page highlight sheet. Is pretty much what we've all talked about, be it landlord-tenant law, be it how can this house be built here with this many rooms, all those things that have came up the last several months, that's on their list to address. Now, is it going to be perfect? No, but I do believe that it will be a much easier, clearer, and well-defined than it is now, and hopefully we can integrate some changes. And this is what people need to remember. Regardless of what we do with the language, it still has to be representative of Kentucky law, federal law. So it may be a different written a different way, but if it's held up by the state law and the federal law and even case law, then we have to figure out a way to make it stay so that it affects all of us equally and fairly.
I guess real quick, when do you expect to have that all done?
Hopefully by the spring.
By the spring?
By the spring.
Okay. We always talk about a project I know that's near and dear to your heart. Actually, it's two projects, if you want to call it that. Brand new stations for your police department and fire department.
I can tell you this without giving up a source or giving up any kind of particular piece of property that would affect the value, which we can't do that. This is the closest we've ever been. We're waiting on a answer from a certain utility company in the area to give us a yay or a nay on a potential transmission easement. If that we think that's going to happen, our surveyor who has surveyed the particular lot, his company's working with them. I actually talked to him over the weekend. He assured me he would have an answer to me by this end of this week. And if the answer is what we think it's going to be, I'm hoping, if not September, maybe October the latest, I can come in and tell you where we're going to put the police and fire station.
Okay, so it's one building or two buildings?
It's going to be one building. It's going to hold the 911 dispatchers and a 911 center. It's going to hold the police station, and it's going to hold our fire station. And with some dormitory-type dorms in it, we've been hesitant to release any kind of drawings or anything because we want to make sure we get what we need, because those would certainly be affected if we have to go to a different size or different layout on a lot. But the one I'm 80% confident we're going to get, it will allow us to have what the police and fire have told me they need. They've talked to the folks who are working on some our plans for this. The dispatching and 911 center is also involved, and so far they're all getting what they want. So that will be, if this happens, this will be something that this community can be very proud of, because it will be saving us by combining the two buildings, the two emergency services, upwards of $1 million. by doing that. And that, I'm saying
I think the original cost was about $4 to $5 million.
We budgeted $4 million, $500,000 for the piece of property, if necessary, and then $3.5 million for the building combined. If both buildings were built separately, it would be about $4 million total, not including property. So it's going to save us between $500,000 and $1 million if this all takes place and the stars are lining up. I hate to say that with an eclipse on the horizon, but the stars are lining up for this
so
to happen.
So it could be about $3.5 million?
$3.5 million, it depends on what, if any, costs are for the land and development. So we're still hopeful that $4 million is going to be able to cover everything. And, again, that would save us roughly $500,000 to $1 million by combining them. And it puts it in a location and together, because they do a lot of training together. They do a lot of work together. And it just makes sense to be more efficient in the use of space. And, again, we always try to be good stewards of the taxpayer's dollar, and we look how we can get more bang for each buck. And this is the best way we can while taking care of some very, very important needs.
Saw something in the agenda, and this is in regards to the Moorhead Utility Plant Board. If you would maybe explain what's going on there.
The Utility Plant Board, it has applied for a loan to do a $30 million upgrade to their infrastructure for a new system on wastewater. And this is something that's been needed. And so by doing that, where they are an entity of the city, we have to okay any major project they do, basically saying, yes, we're for it. They're not going on their own. And, yes, we're here to help with the backing of that. And so we're kind of like a surety almost, I guess you may say, guarantor, whatever you want to use. But the process is anytime they apply for any kind of grant, loan, anything like that, just like with tourism, if it's a large amount, they come to us. And since they're part of what the city, under the city's umbrella, then we have to give our blessing.
So the plan is to start that project? I'm guessing that they got the approval to get
yes,
the loan, correct?
Yes, they did. And also, to start the process, I mean, they're starting in the planning stages now. That would be a great question for Holly. I don't know that timeline. I just know that you have to get all this preliminary stuff out of the way.
Last thing I think we need to talk about is you have something opening up in regards to recreation.
We do. We've got a dog park, the Moorhead Bark Park, as we're going to call it. It'll be opening up sometime before the end of this month. We had the final approval last night at the Monday night's meeting, and we're excited about that. It's pretty much complete. We had to run some electrical, move some electrical and a little bit of water because of where it ran through the middle of the site, and so we're letting that grass, that hay, kind of grass over a little bit. So, because what's the first thing a dog's going to do when he sees the dirt and the hay? He's going to dig it up. So we're trying to let that grass over a little bit, and that's getting close. But we're excited about that. That's another livability issue. You know, it's been somebody's wanted this for many, many years. We've had people come up and talk about it. It is divided into smaller dog paddock and a larger dog. And if you get a chance, I advise people, if you're looking forward to doing that, drive up. It's at the end of City Park, at the big shelter at the end of the hollow, and it's going to be nice. I know Tracy Williams has worked very hard on this, our chamber director. Her and her dad actually built a couple of the little walkways and the little things for dogs to go on, and her dad took great pride in that. And he said, well, no sense paying that much money, so I can build that. So we went and built two of them, and we welcome that. If people have ideas, they want to come and help and add to that, you know, please let us know.
All right, we're about out of time. We appreciate it, as always, Mayor, coming over and speaking with us on Front Page. We look forward to talking to you again very soon.
We appreciate WMKY always being there and covering and the fact that you are the local news provider here.
The local nose beacon.
The local nose beacon. And now don't confuse with Beaker. He'll get upset. Not Beaker the Eagle, but the beacon. But really, honestly, the fact that you all are always there, you keep the public, whether it's in Moorhead and with your reach on your signal, the region, with what's going on here, we would be very much disservice without WMKY here, and we certainly appreciate and will support you all any way we can.
Thanks again, Mayor. We're at Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Morales on Front Page. See you next time.